Did you ever get to teach and then you dived in and you realized before you could turn back that you dove into water that was too deep? And I think I did. So we're only going to go so far with this, and I'm calling it a primer, not a finished work, because I went, oh, no. But like I was thinking about suffering. And what does, in Christian history, I mean, suffering is a big deal. It really is a big deal. Did you know Martin Luther, when he decided to become a priest or a monk, whatever he was, he beat himself and beat himself and beat to the point of bleeding because he wanted to experience the sufferings of Christ so that he could be more like Jesus Christ. Now, this is the famous reformer who finally accepted that we are saved by grace. You know, he was the leader in that. That's why we know it today, probably. Otherwise, we'd all be beating ourselves, too. Probably. I mean, I don't know. Do you know there's still, to this day, there's a place, and I guess Paul's probably going to go see it, the Sancta Scala. You know what that is?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is a set, the famous, supposedly, the steps that Jesus Christ walked on the way to the crucifixion. I don't believe that. Somebody moved them to Rome and charged money so you could kneel your way and say a prayer on each step. And as you did that, cha-ching, you'll get a plenary indulgence. And a plenary indulgence means that you didn't, your sin is wiped away. You are righteous now. Of course, you... Yeah, but that's still there today, okay? Martin Luther also did those steps. I have a quote here from, let me find it, from Charles Dickens, who went to see it. Now, this was many years later, after Martin Luther, of course. Charles Dickens, after visiting the Scala Sancta in 1845, wrote, "I never in my life saw anything at once so ridiculous and so unpleasant at this sight." As he described the scene of watching people do this. Well, anyway, I don't want to put that down in that sense, but people were always trying to earn their salvation by suffering. In our King James Version, the word suffer appears, how many times I got here? A fair number, yeah. We get 71 matches for the word suffer or suffering. And that's the words that are translated suffer and suffering are also translated other ways, like affliction and stuff like that. So it's even more than that. But the King James Version, which was published 400 and some years ago, you know, some of those words really aren't, there's really not 70. It's more like 40, okay? Because half of those are just, the word suffer means to permit or to let somebody. It's like, I suffer Michelle to make me a good dinner. I do. I allow her. But I'm not suffering when she makes me a good dinner, right? But she makes it. But there's like, there's 15 or 20 words that are translated suffer. One is actually the word give. It's used 367 times as the word give. You know, so should they have translated it suffer? Nah, they should have translated it as give. But the ESV has pulled it back. ESV is published in 2001, like, what's that, 24 years ago? Well, they only have 50 uses of the word suffer. You know, the Bible's not falling apart because of that. It's just, you know, our understanding of words and stuff like that. You know, our identity is Christ, right? We all know that, or at least we all want to believe that. And we're not called, we're all going to experience suffering. It's part of life. It's part of the human condition. You can't get around it. And some of that suffering is because you're a Christian. That's good, too. You know, it's not bad. But there is one place I want to go to, and I call it the gold. I found this one word that's translated suffering, and I think we'll study this one today. So this is the primer. This is how deep we're going to go today. No farther. But it's wonderful to find out. We know that we need to understand the words in context. So we're going to do a little context, and watch with me as we travel through like seven verses and see what the context is. It's great. So let me pull this up here a second. Okay, bip. So let's all go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm hung up on this word, comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And tribulation is the word phlipseth, which is awful close to suffering. Okay? Because phlipseth means you're being pursued. Okay? Things are bothering you. You know, it's your mental pressure. It's what's hitting you. So, in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ, this is the word pathema, sufferings of Christ abound in us. So, our identity is Jesus Christ. Remember that. That's the abounding in us. Not that we are scourging ourselves or putting ourselves a plait of thorns on our head. That's not the same thing. But the sufferings of Christ abound in us. So our consolation or our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. So we're really hung up on it. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. This is all about comfort here. The context is comfort. See, there's you got sufferings, then you got comfort. He doesn't let you hang. God doesn't let us hang. There's sufferings, and then there's comfort. Well, let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll start first in verse 9. And it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let's hop down to verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. This is right after the sufferings part. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Well, this is starting to really sound bad. Not at all, right? Because our body's going to be changed unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But what a great context. Sufferings of Christ. Glory. Yay. Okay, how about let's go to this. This has got to build. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll go to verse 24. Well, actually, we'll read 23. Start there. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This is Paul's sufferings. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Afflictions, sufferings. In my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And guess where we're going? Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's associated with the sufferings of Christ. Then we're right down to the glory, the hope of glory. I think it's great. God doesn't leave, he doesn't leave us hanging, you know. It's not just sufferings. How about Hebrews chapter 2? Yeah, we're going to go to Hebrews. Scary place. Wait till you see where we finish. Sid's going to be thrilled. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons, that's you and me, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Wonderful stuff. Sons of glory. Call yourself a son of glory. I think I like that. Right? You're a son of glory. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I had a cheat thing here so I don't have to look them up. And we'll start in verse 9. I don't know why I did. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that should follow. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Might as well read verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Pretty cool. Yes, there's sufferings in there, but there's glory. Let's go to chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. What's a fiery trial? Which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be surprised you have a little suffering. It's just what it is. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That we're already partakers of his sufferings. We don't have to whip ourselves. We don't have to kneel on the steps. We don't have to do any of that stuff. Well, inasmuch as you're partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We are going to be glad with exceeding joy. It's pretty cool. Well, we won't read the rest of that one. That's enough. Well, let's go to... This is kind of where we're going to start wrapping her up. Romans, where do you think? What chapter? 8, yes.
What verse? 26?
No, but you're close. We're going to go to, how about we just start with 16? Okay,
So
that's a pretty close. Well, it is. We're going there. Okay. Yeah, yeah. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, I'm going to stop there. But Romans is what kind of a book?
Doctrinal.
Very good, class. Good job. You get an A. But since it's doctrinal, what's that mean? This is?
How to believe.
Right. And it's doctrine. You know, it's not fuzzy. It's clear. It's true. It's what it is. This is what to believe. You know, that's what doctrine means. You know, we're not correcting you. We're just he's just instructing us. You know? Well, anyway. That same, I'm going to not go to really any more verses. I'm pretty much wrapped up. But like, yeah, good. I don't blame you. Pathema, just so you don't think I was skirting them. I was. But it's also used of the motions of sin. Sufferings of sin. It's also used about the being crucified with the flesh, with the affections and lust. Affections being sufferings. And it's used of Paul's afflictions while he traveled through the thing. And it's used when Peter's encouraging the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's where the usage of the word pathema is, other than what we just read. But so we can learn a lot from that. There's also a few other words that really relate directly to pain, suffering, experience that may be good or bad. But we're not going to go there because we don't want to be here the rest of the week. And I didn't even go that far. But anyway, we learned that although we may experience suffering, you know, we'll also experience glory. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I think it's pretty good. And natural man, and thank God we're not natural men. Natural man doesn't have anything to compare. What do they got for glory? What's glory if you're a natural man? Yeah, right. You hit the lottery. Glory, yay! You know, win at the slots. Glory, yay! Maybe your favorite football team wins the Super Bowl. It's glory. That's as close to glory as you're going to get. I mean, if you were a super wannabe special person, you might get an award called like an Oscar or what's that one? The Nobel Peace Prize. You know, this is glory. This is what glory is to me. Maybe you're a king or a prince or a princess, you know, or a Disney princess. I don't know. But like, that's as close as they'll get ever. So we got to be, you know. And they'll suffer, they'll experience suffering too, and they'll die with no more than that. You know, God has given us comfort first, and we know that we have eternal life, and we have eternal glory to wait for its coming. And it's absolutely true, because we just read about it in Romans, and that's doctrine. So God bless you guys. That's